We're having the reading of the scripture, and we're inviting our youngest member reader that we have to do the scripture. Thank you. And she reads directly from her Bible. So there is a possibility that the version is a little bit different, but what I value is that she learns it from her Bible. And I wish all of us we learned that. Amen? All right, girl. Go.
Today our scripture comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First, I want you to pray for all people. Ask God to help and bless them. Give thanks for them. Pray for kings. Pray for everyone who is in authority. Pray that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Pray that we will be godly and holy. This is good. It pleases God our Savior. He wants all people to be saved. He wants them to come and know the truth. There is only one God, and there's only one go-between for God and human beings. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself to pay for the sins of all people. We have been told this message just at the right time. I was appointed to be a messenger, an apostle to preach the good news. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. God appointed me to be true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles.
Amen. Thank you, girl. Let us pray. Lord, as we hear this beautiful, sweet voice and that reminds us how you can speak to us even through children, allow us to value your word, allow us to be our foundation, to be your word, and that our lives are transformed by the power of your scripture in our lives. We bring this worship service to you, this sermon, and we pray, God, that maybe you the one who speaks to all of us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So we are in our very last Sunday in relationship to where are we rooted in our foundation of our faith. We have been talking about how easily we can root our lives in so many options. Directly or indirectly, you are rooting your life somewhere. And in some of them, you're taking a conscious decision to say, these are the principles that I want my life to be, have that foundation. In some other ones that just happen because that's what you're receiving. What we want you right now is to be intentional in doing this specific things that you want to root your faith and therefore your life. During these Sundays, we have talked about many different options, many different things that are provided by our denomination, from learning about what is our faith that is have a foundation with our mind, with our heart, with our actions. We talk about God's grace. We talk about holiness, how important it is to understand that holiness gives us freedom. We talk about also how we are people who need to have kingdom vision so we can take risk in life. And also we talk about how important it is to be connected. But to be connected, really, we need to have a foundation in the truth that keeps us strong in the life that we have. So these are important things that are for our denomination. Now, as I was sharing with you, this was a very big week for the United Methodist Church. There were a lot of decisions that happened that if I try to explain all of them to you right now, they are still not quite clear because they need to come and review them and then give us like the final draft of whatever the decisions were. But regardless of that, there is one thing I want to tell you, and it is who we are as Northern Hills United Methodist Church. And I want to be very clear to let you know that if any person asks you, so what is your church about as a United Methodist Church? What do they believe? What are the things that they want to ground yourself? And talking with Pastor Milton, these are the four things that we strongly want to communicate to everyone. But you need to listen to me to the four of them to understand exactly where we're going. The first thing that we want us, everybody to know, in our congregation, everyone is welcome. Amen? Everyone is welcome. Everyone means who? Does it mean that they need to look like me? Do they need to speak Spanish? Really? You know, okay, do they need to behave like me? Do I need to agree with their lives? We welcome everybody because it's a principle that God taught us. It says in his scripture on Matthew 10:40, everyone is welcome. And by that doesn't mean that I just see them in the entrance and I just see and smile. It means we have an intentional effort so everyone here can feel that radical hospitality. That wherever, if you have been in this church already, you know where is the restroom, you know where is the kitchen, you know where is the pastor, and you need to guide them to the new. That means if you know that, then you're capable to help a person to feel welcome. And it's not just to worship, it's for everything that we are as Northern Hills. I also want you to know, people can recognize you, that you are part of this congregation. Believe it or not, wherever we are, we find people that says, I have seen you before. I have seen you at that church. So that welcome spirit, I want you guys to understand that we carry that wherever we go. I have shared with you that sometimes I'm in Walmart and then I greet a person from the traditional service that I know, but I don't know the name. I feel horrible about that. And my kids just look at me and they said, of course they are from Northern Hills, right? And I said, you know, this is one of the best problems that we have. It's amazing that how many people are connected to this church in our area. But in every place where we are, we behave as a person who's representing, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, we're representing Northern Hills. Amen? The second thing that we all do is we love one another. We love one another. It does not happen through our own strength. It happens as a fruit of the love of God for you. And by that, it means loving one another is not this. Remember, I'm not talking about the dinosaur love of Barney. You remember Barney, the purple dinosaur who sang that song that annoyed me about I love you, you love me. Oh, no, I'm going to have it on my head. So we are beyond that, stronger than that. The love that we have is a love that is connected in conversation. Is the love kind of what God asks you to have? But that love is the one that keeps you together in the good moments. But that love is also the one that keeps you together where the struggle is happening. And there will be times, as all of you in marriage, where you realize, right now you're not my favorite person, but I'm sticking with you because of that love of Christ for you and for me. And that's why we're going to have a conversation to come to a place of healing. Does that happen to you? Or is it a uniqueness between Abel and I? You know, maybe because of the bicultural marriage or something. But this is the same kind of love that we're going to have in this place. It's a love where we're going to stick together regardless of sometimes having disagreements. But we're going to stick together because it is through the loving of each other where transformation happens in our lives. Amen? But the next thing too is we're not staying just there. There are many times when we hear, love is enough. But you see, real love challenges us. So I encourage you also to see yourself as a person that is also in a process of sanctification, as we have been talking with the holiness in the United Methodist Church. Each of us have a place where we need to grow. Is there anyone here who can tell me that you are already done with your walk in Christ and you are perfect? If that's the case, raise your hand and tell me the formula. You see, but on the other hand, how many of us, we are in that process of sanctification? How many of us, we say, I'm not there, but I'm focusing my attention to get there because I want to live the life that God created me to be with the fullness of the understanding of restoration and transformation? How many of you are saying, I am in that process, not done, but I'm in that process. Amen? We are all in that same boat. Therefore, we need to learn to interact with each other knowing we are not perfect, but we are all trying to grow. Now, the situation is this. Because we are in a process of growth, we do not know in all of us the final product. It's like when you're gonna bake a cake. You have the eggs, you have the flour, you have everything else. When it's not mixed and ready, and after being in the right temperature in the oven, is it ready? If you open that before it's time, is it going to be ready? No, what happened? You know, so it doesn't look as it's going to be. You need to wait till the end, till you find that final yummy product. You do not do that before it's time. So each of us, we are in that process of cooking. Perhaps some of you are feeling that you are right now in that mixing. Maybe some of you feel in the oven, right? Because there are certain situations that are happening where you feel like how God is cooking to you and he's preparing a great person, but is still in that process. So when we interact with each other, we remember that we have grace to each other. But at the same time, we expect every person that is in this church to grow in their faith. To say, I'm going to be a better person next year. How does that person look? I don't know. That's between you and God, and that's between how that place. Amen? And the next thing is that also we are all here called to what we were talking last week. To do what? To disciple. Remember we talk about walking. We are calling about going, baptizing, and teaching. We are all called to disciple. And specifically with Northern Hills, we do that by reaching, teaching, and loving. You know, one of the things that happened this week, it was very special for me, that the same time that General Conference was going on and all these different conversations were happening, I came back from Mexico. I went to visit my parents, and it touched me first that while I am in Mexico, I have told you, my parents, they are in their 80s, and they barely can hear each other. So every conversation in my house is at this level, you know, right? So they are, it's time to go to bed. And they go with their walkers, both of them competing, I think. And then I was in my bedroom and they're like, are you sleeping, Lupina? I'm like, no, not really. And so they say, we're going to pray. And they pray aloud. And I remember my mom saying, Lord, we bring the church of Lupina before your presence. It's not Lupina's, it's God's. But we ask a blessing upon every member of that church. We pray for every pastor, and my dad is Catholic, and my dad was like, amen, and it touched my heart to know people are praying for us. And then when I came here on Wednesday, I go to the office, and there is one lady who shows up in the office, and she says, I'm moving, and I was looking for a church, and I saw that you have certain activities that you do, like quilting, and I love quilting. Well, it happens that quilting was at that hour. And I said, let me bring you to the quilting class. So I went and I took her with all these girls who do these amazing things in quilting. What it taught me, guys, is that as soon as we step into that area, and I said, she's new, you had several of those students just coming and of the members of the quilting group and just embrace her. And start telling her, let me tell you about our church. Let me tell you about our activities. I was greeting some of them. And 2 minutes later, I look at the new lady. And she was laughing with the other ones. And she was like patting already. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is radical hospitality. And I was so proud of this church and thankful to the Lord for that. But then God even topped that one too. Because on Wednesday night, we had worship service at the WOW service. And we had a man who came. And this man just told Pastor Milton, you know, I have felt lost spiritually. And I want to come back to God. And this guy said, I have been baptized already, but can I remember my baptism right now? So in the middle of the WOW service, we took the prayer time. And we remind the guy about his baptism. So we again put water over him and we pray for him. But after that, he says, I want to go to one class. And I asked permission to Jim Cooper to share this. Because we took him to the men's class. And while he is there, Jim Cooper told me as he was teaching. And he said, I was struggling for the whole day about how God wanted me to explain this class. And the thing that kept coming to his mind was how he was talking about Nathaniel and how he was talking about walking and finding Jesus as the only way. He kept coming back to that. But he knew that the members of that class are very mature, and he's like, well, God, I'm going back to basics, but it seems that's where you want me to go. And when he's teaching the class and he explains, you know, Jesus Christ is the only way, and it's the way for forgiveness. And he told me that in the middle of the class, this guy who just came because he felt lost, he raised his hand and he said, so what you are saying right now is that all my sins are really forgiven. And Jim said to him, yes, all your sins are forgiven by the forgiveness of Christ. So what I learned in there is that by the assurance that God is bringing new people, and by the assurance that this church, God is using it to proclaim his name, God is not giving up in Northern Hills United Methodist Church. God is using this congregation for great things. And we are really right now just embracing what God is calling us to do in this next step and next journey, whatever it is. But we're going to do it under these four principles. Amen? So, and one of them, especially today, we're going to emphasize the one about challenging our lives. So how do we grow in our faith? During this time, we have been learning about all these different things about roots and plants. And there are certain systems that every tree does to keep himself growing. There are little details that you don't even think that they have a purpose. But there are so many things that through that, it keeps the tree healthy. The same thing needs to happen with our lives. When we come to that place of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our God and Savior, then we need to make and to be able to use different ways to grow in our faith. I can see how even in the schools, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar, but in the Northeast Independent School District, these are the seven habits that they teach to every child. Is this in every school? Yes, in every, maybe Northeast, but they tell them, you need to go through these seven habits, and it's like, be proactive, begin with the end in mind, etc. So the purpose for them in the school is they go and they are learning things, but they also hope that children do not get just the education, but also the formation of their character. So the same thing as Christians, how is it that you and I can help get stronger in the formation of our character? What things do we do? And one of the things that the Methodist Church recommends is what we call the means of grace. And the definition of this is means of grace are ways God works invisible in disciples. Help me to pronounce that word. Hastening, strengthening, and confirming faith so that God's grace pervades in and through disciples. In other words, this is a way where we are nurturing our spiritual life. Some of those things are not things that you can see. Some of things are personal things. This is how the definition of the Methodist Church gives to means of grace. But let me give you an example of one of them. And one of them is actually prayer. The scripture that we read today, it says, pray for all people, give thanks. You should pray for rulers and for those who have authority. Pray for these leaders so that we can live in peace. And I like in this version that it says, what is? This is the way our Savior wants us to live. So it is through that communication with God, that prayer life, that we are able to understand what is God's will for our lives. Now, I have talked to my kids, and I have shared this before with you. Whenever I'm telling them about how can they grow their faith, and I tell them, it's like when you're learning in another language. You need to learn to distinguish that language. So when a person is coming and talking to me, it's like I need to realize, are they speaking in English? Are they speaking in Spanish? Or are they speaking something that I just don't get? So you need to discern. But the only way you discern language is when you have been exposed to that language. The same thing with prayer. If you say, it's hard for me to understand prayer, maybe it's like we need to expose you more. We need to put you in places where you can be with other people who pray, but also to have opportunities to perhaps read prayers, read the Psalms. Those are prayers. So in that way, you start learning to see how is God, how your ear gets tuned to God so you can understand when he talks to you. But this is one of those means of grace. There are different ways. I love what C.S. Lewis talks about prayer. He says, I pray because I can't help myself. Amen. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. But I love this statement. It doesn't change God. It changes me. It changes me. There are many times that it is through that time of struggle with prayer, you coming with your agenda to God. Do you do that? You come and you say to God, God, this is how I want you to deal with my life. And God looks at you and he says, Well, he does that to me. And then you're like, well, it needs to be with all of this. If you do all of this, then I will praise you and I will say that I'm happy. And you feel, okay, God is not answering. What's wrong with this? I told him the plan and I'm telling him that at the end I'm going to be happy. But then you come back. And then when God is, you say, God, I want this. And I'm telling you, this is what makes me happy. But while you are talking to God, then you realize, I can edit. Okay, so let me edit this, let me take this. Okay, maybe with this, God, I can make it with this. And then God keeps listening to you and you can. He keeps telling you like, yeah, right. And then you come back and you say, you know, God, maybe this can be different. Maybe we can do it in another way. Will you tell me what's that way? You see? Now you are asking him. And then he talks to you. And he answers. And then the last prayer that you do is like, may your will be done. Amen? So it's that process. But that process requires that discipline of growth. And those disciplines is what we call them, the works of mercy and works of piety. This is very well known with the Methodist Church, and we can explore this very deeply, but it takes time. So I just encourage you, look for it, take a picture if you want to. And it has the places where it talks to you about. Some of them you do in your own, personal. Some of them you do it in public. But when we put all of them together, then it's a way where we grow. Another way we can see that is what you have in your bulletin. Do you find that? I love this one. I found this one with a United Methodist pastor. And I will almost encourage you to keep it close to your refrigerator or somewhere where you go often. And this is a place where you can balance yourself and say, am I being fed good? Like, do you see those plates? It reminds me, the plates of the different things that you should be eating to be healthy. You know what I'm talking about? They are in color and they say, take a portion of meat, a portion of vegetables, a portion of fruit, neither coffee. You dessert in there, right? I don't know. There is probably wrong in that one. Neither coffee. And that bothers me. But anyway, but that supposedly if you eat in that way, you are eating balance. Look at this as that. Are you participating in this? If you're participating, is it balance? Now, again, everyone has your own flavor, right? I like chicken spicy. I like to put a lot of salsa on it. And I like to put a lot of really yummy stuff in there that is spicy. Some of you don't. It's different. The same way you approach this is based on your own flavor and the way God wants to connect with you. But let me go with you for there. Do you find that prayer? Engage in prayer in regular times of prayer. Perhaps by yourself. Maybe you need to do it in the morning, maybe in the evening. It's depending on what makes you feel stronger and when you can give your best time to God. Personally, for me, if I don't start in the morning prayer, then I feel the whole day that I am like, okay, God, I'm not even sure if what I am listening is coming from you or not. Like, I need to have my antenna first connected with God. Some of you is better at night. And you say, you know, before I go to bed, I need to refocus my life with God. Other ones is then is scripture. Engage in studying and learning the scripture in different places. This is why, guys, we're having right now for you the Right Now Media. I want you to find ways where you learn more about the Bible. If you read one proverb a day, you read the whole proverb, the book of Proverbs, in 1 month. So I encourage you, find ways to read the scripture, and it will speak to you. The next one is mercy. Love and serve those in need in tangible ways. Sometimes it's just the way you give. It reminds you that all what you have belongs to who? To God. Why do we need to tithe? Tithe makes a big impact in the church, guys. It does make an impact. It allowed us to set a budget so we know how far can we serve in many ways. But it's not just about saying we need to help on the budget of the church. That's the wrong reason. The reason why we tithe is because we need to remember that every single thing, penny, income, help to go to work is coming from one source, and that is God. So by tithing and by giving, I am also remembering that. So when we give to others, it's a way for me to remember everything that I have is coming from God. But also because God empowers you to make a difference in a person's life. The dollars for hope, for example, there has been so many times that just that amount of money that they receive through our church transforms a family. Takes them out of a moment of crisis to a moment of balance. It's incredible what does that. So have those times of mercy. Another thing that we do is also conferencing. Meet regularly with a group of to strengthen your faith. This is another place where we're trying to grow as a church. Now, if you say, you know, I have 3 or 4 friends, Lupina, I would like to meet with them. How can I do that? Come and talk to me, and we can find ways so we can empower you to do those kind of ministries. But it helps you to have other friends so you can grow in each other's faith. And then abstinence. This is very special because we have always talked about this as fasting. But in this case, it's a little bit different. What it talks about is this. Whenever we talk about fasting, we talk about fasting of food. But in this case, it's saying something more probably accurate to our times. He's talking about what are things that does not help you to listen clearly to God. And fasting is an idea of saying, if you take your time of eating, you come and you have a time of prayer, and then you're going to remember how vulnerable you are because you're going to be hungry, that's going to help you to tune yourself better to God. But perhaps sometimes God is calling us to fast of other things, like Facebook. Or media, or that TV program that is putting a lot of ideas in your mind that is actually taking you farther from God. So could it be that the fasting that God is calling you to have more than food, could it be that perhaps it's something else? And through that, you grow in connecting with God. I encourage you to explore that. And then worship, exactly what we're doing in here. There are certain things that can happen just when you worship with the church. There is something that is just a miracle from God that happens just when you gather with other family in Christ, like we do here. So with this kind of different disciplines and this kind of means of grace, we expect everyone to grow and to be challenged to be able to be the person that the Lord created us to be. So one of the invitations I have for you today is that when we come here to communion, remember that you're coming in this place in a group of people that are broken, but are also coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to find healing and restoration. And when we come to communion also, remember that God is empowering you because you have been forgiven. And that forgiveness transforms your life. So you can be in this community and together we can grow to learn who we are for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that, we bring hope to the world. So come to this communion knowing that you're a very important person for the church that can make a difference because God has made a difference in your life. Amen. Because on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was with his friends, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he told them, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that is poured out for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me.